sir.
Oh, hey, hey, hey.
Hey, man.
Hey.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. You asked me that, and I'd never know what to say because I want to just be like, oh, I'm terrible. It's the worst.
Well, because you're a white man, you have to say one of three things.
Okay.
You got to say, I'm doing. You got to say, living the dream.
I am living the dream.
And you got to say, just another day in paradise.
Another day in paradise.
That's
I can't say any of those things.
That's, I know
that
you
fucking
you
sucks.
Were well you were a prominent user of the phrase I'm doing for a while.
Yeah,
I am.
I do.
I think out of the three, it's the least offensive.
It's the one that just really says, you know what, life's fucking stupid.
I'm barely managing to function.
Look, if things ended right now, I wouldn't be too disappointed. Let's go ahead.
That's Mick Arcade in the chat. Hello, Mick Arcade, Hidden Fox Gaming. Hello, two bros in the chat with two bros in Twitch.
Nice.
Two bros and two bros. So this
you know
is
which
a week
bros we're... these are?
I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club
podcast.
This is one of our weeks where we're doing it on Twitch. So if anybody doesn't know, we are now recording one off, one on, which means that if you're a big Quarantine Book Club fan, there's plenty of hot material coming at you and at your face and at your body on the off weeks. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Also, don't worry. I'm just putting on like chapstick.
Sorry, just
yeah. Don't
lipstick.
Worry. I totally didn't get today's episode up. So don't worry.
It's Christmas. It's don't worry. Christmas expands every year. I have this theory that Christmas is like a whirlpool. It's like a whirlpool, and it used to be at the bottom, like at the very tip, where it was like every day, like the 23rd and 24th. I mean, sorry, the 24th and 26th were also Christmas, right?
Yes.
But then the year after that, it expanded where it was like the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th are also Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then the year after that, it was like, well, you know what? The 22nd and the 28th. We're now at the point where basically the whole month is Christmas. So your excuse works.
It has to be. This year, the whole month has to be Christmas.
It's a clusterfuck. It's a burning clusterfuck.
I'm doing less Christmasing as far as like buying gifts for people. Also, for me, Christmas is not about getting gifts. It's not about Jesus. All right. Christmas is about giving gifts to people that I love.
Tell me all about it.
I don't give a fuck about Santa Claus because I'm the real Santa Claus. Me. I go out there and I give gifts to all the good girls and boys as long as I know ya. As long as I like ya. As long as you maybe text me once every other day.
Well, I'm fucked then. I'm getting nothing.
Or if we are family members. Sometimes. Some family members not getting gifts. The ones I don't like, definitely not getting gifts. Honestly.
Yep. Hey, Arsenic and Old Games, by the way.
Gotta click message text to our sister and say, hey, Lith, probably not going to trade gifts with you this year. Because honestly, I probably won't see you because... COVID.
Yo, if you can do that, like, could you also add me into that?
I could try it. Could you try it?
Could you add me into that?
Hey, you want to become famous and buy followers, primes, and viewers on...
We can't now.
Bigfollows.com.
We can't now. Guess we can't do it. Guys, I'm not buying... I'm going to buy listeners to our podcast.
I'm going to buy listeners. Works out really well.
I buy some listeners to our podcast. How was your week?
Christmas. Yeah, whatever. It's all Christmas.
No, well, like even this year, you and I talked about, like, you and I sort of go apeshit with each other a lot of the time. And sometimes I feel like the rest of the family around us gets to, like, it becomes like the Bob and Rance Christmas show where we're like, oh, buddy, I got something cool for you. Oh, buddy, I got something cool for you.
Yeah.
And they're just like sitting there like, would you fucking please go on to the next present? Because you and
stop
I think the same
each other
way.
Off.
Right.
Yeah.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Stop giving each other Christmas hand jobs. So I think we both said to each other this year, it's like, let's go chill.
Go
the love
it less.
Affair is real. Is real.
And it's, I am okay with that. Cause we honestly, we have seen each other so much less this year. We're normally shoved up each other's asses. And thanks
God so much.
Thanks COVID. We even had to like, but
you
also
haven't even met my dog yet.
No. In fact, that was where I was going next. I need Rance's weekly doggo update.
Oh, dog's fine. Dog's doing great, actually. Let me tell you what the dog learned.
I can't wait to hear.
Dog learned how to ring a bell to go outside to go to the bathroom. I got a bell hanging from my door. And every time we were going out, I would take her paw and I'd pat it on the bell. Take her paw, pat it on the bell, give her a treat. Take a paw, pat it on the bell, give her a treat. Take a paw, pat it on the bell, give her a treat. Take a paw, pat it on the bell, no treat. Take a paw, pat it on the bell, no treat. Take a paw, pat it on the bell, no treat. Each time I did that, it opened the door. So now the dog knows when it's time to go to the bathroom, I hear bing, 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 bing. And I'm like, yo. So I open the door, dog goes out. Now, here's the thing, though, is that
that dog is going to turn this
exactly
into...
I've got to train. I've got to train to one level and then reduce the training to another level where the dog rings it when it needs to go out and not when it wants to go out.
Oh, no, that's never happening. That is never happening. That dog is like, oh, yo, guess what? It's a nice fucking day outside.
I'm going out. Bing-a-ling-ling. I'm going out. So, yeah, I have to, like, now we have to train ourselves to understand, okay, is this a want or need? Is this want or need? And right now, I'm not even at that place where it's ever want. It's just go out.
Yeah, who cares, man? Just let that dog out. Also, just put that dog outside. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You have a fenced
yard. A huge
fence,
yeah.
Yeah, just let the dog go run.
On summer days, no shit. I'm just going to open that door.
It's like sending the kids outside.
Yep.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. Christmas hand jobs all around, Hidden Fox Gaming says. Let's all feel that ringle and tingle. And yeah, so no, Doggo's been good, man. That's the only update. No poops in the house this week. No peas in the house
this
week.
Nice. Really? Yep. Talking with my fiance.
Can't say
fiance.
That hasn't happened to me.
Nice. Nice. As long as it went in the toilet, who cares?
Yeah, right.
Or on somebody's chest. One of the two. Talking to the fiance. The fiance's parents also got a dog.
Oh, they did. They went puppy power?
Oh, they went puppy power a while ago, though. They went puppy power, like, this summer.
Yeah.
And that dog is not good. Dog is not good.
What's it do?
It eats everything.
Can we compare dogs? Because people say not to do that. I want to compare dogs.
No, that dog got in trouble because Tara's, I will say this, and hopefully it won't get back to the in-laws.
It's okay.
Tara's dad is really proud of his Christmas lights, but the problem with Tara's dad's Christmas lights is they are net lights over the bushes and a pair of star showers. You know those laser lights that are red and green that just do this twirling.
Did the dog eat them?
The ugly thing. Those ugly ass.
Oh
lazy
yeah, the ones that are
things.
Like they're like reindeers that like twist and turn.
But
it's
his
like
is the actual like little pinpoint lights. And, No, the dog ate them.
Awesome.
And he got super mad about it, and Tara had to be like. It's a dog. It's a puppy.
It's,
like
you have to every day. I'm learning how to puppy proof more. Right?
But that dog eats everything.
And that's the difference, though, is that like we've been working really hard on drop it. We've been working really hard on like replacing. It's not a matter of yelling. It's replacing. Mm-hmm. Mick Arcade says that his dog is an asshole. Also, I'm gonna have to fight him because I might have the best dog in the world. I definitely don't. Mm-hmm. My dog's an asshole too. But like replacing, so it's like when the dog tries to bite me, it's not because it's being a dick. It's because it's like, yay, play. And I'm like, here's a toy. Eat the toy, not my flesh.
Do you want dog toys for Christmas?
No, we got plenty, actually, okay. Unless you've already gotten some.
No, I have not.
Because
and I was wondering if
thing,
you wanted toys.
Fuck that dog. It's
dog.
Not for me.
I know, but I really like useful things.
No. It's got to be for me.
Okay, here's a thing for you that the dog can eat so it doesn't eat your things.
I'll figure that shit out on my own. I want my things.
Okay, whatever.
No, I'm joking.
Got
I'm
your
joking.
Things.
I'm joking.
Whatever. You cut me off. You were like, I gave you a number amount, and you went, that's enough, because I don't want to spend that much on you. And
I was
like,
I didn't know. Oh. Like, what? No, it wasn't that.
It's two things, bro. That is literally two things. I've bought you two things for the amount of money that I spent on you.
You don't got to buy that much.
I know.
I'm worth
gonna,
it, but...
Now we're gonna compare Christmas
well, I'm
purchases.
Worth it. So, I gotta be honest with you. I'm gonna be disappointed with two gifts, so...
I know. That's what I'm saying. Even though you said, let's not go ham, what's gonna happen is we're both gonna go, I gotta get him another thing.
Oh, God, no. Oh, not God. This year, man. This year's such a weird year. I really do just care, like, if we get a chance to see each other. That's what I actually care about. Christmas hand jobs must be incoming, then.
definitely coming.
Loud. You went there.
Yeah, me. Where was I supposed to not go there?
I don't know.
Am I worried about TOS?
No. Not at all. I don't care.
I mean the original series, not terms of service.
Yeah, the original Star Trek TOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to be here. You know, that's what we're going to have, Ashley, Arsenic and Old Games. We're going to have the Holiday Dick Measuring Contest. The unfortunate part is that it's going to be awfully, awfully disappointing for everyone.
I mean, I go by how wide it is, not how long, because otherwise I'd lose every time.
Yep.
Got a little Coke can chode.
Dreaming
going on
of
over
a chode, miss. Just like the chodes I used to know.
Oh, man, I know one every day.
Let's Dune.
Let's Dune the second part of Dune.
Dune, book two, Muad'Dib.
We didn't finish book two.
No, we didn't. We both got to about the same spot.
Yeah, it's but because we have read the equivalent of what book one was already.
Yes, yes.
Like book two, I think, is longer than book one, and then book three is like a little short beb. So, yeah, Muad'Dib.
So I want to give a quick shout out to Mick Arcade, who's been in my mind for the past hour and a half in ways that are not sexual in nature without his consent. He said earlier, so we were talking about on Twitter, we were talking about the Kwisatz Haderach, right?
Yes. And then Can you spell that for me?
Yes, it's K-W-I-T-A Kwisatz. QS29 racked.
Good. Nailed it.
Thank you. And he was like, just think about it as the knick-knack paddywhack.
But give now that dog a bone.
But now I can't think of. See, when I think of knick-knack paddywhack, I don't think of give a dog a bone. You know what I think about.
You think about Mr. Bungle.
I think about Mr. Bungle. Mm-hmm. So now I hear the word Kwisatz Haderach.
Kwisatz Haderach. Not give your dog a boner, baby.
Which, by the way, that album is like 25 years old now.
It is. It's still great, but that's the most you'll ever hear me singing on this podcast.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. We almost got another song special this week. It might happen by the time Dune December is over.
Have you heard? Is there? Do you? Oh, you got the Gurney Halleck song where he sings about dead boys.
Yes,
he sings to the dead boy.
He sings to the dead boy about a woman he knew, and I thought to myself, it's time to find a folk track on YouTube and sing that shit.
What do you think a balisette is?
I think a balisette is damn it, you're already ruining my quiz for later. I have a quiz for you tonight.
Oh, okay, then don't worry. I just want to know what you think a balisette is. I know it's a string instrument.
Yeah,
I know that.
Nine strings, right?
I don't remember. Did they say how many strings it is? Really? Do you think it's a combination of like a harp and what are the ones that look like a guitar but they're medieval and they have the big
lute?
Round? Is it a lute?
A lute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that
lute.
All the D&D characters carry.
Yes,
all the bards
a lute.
Carry.
A lute.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it has to be mobile and it has to be something that Gurney Halleck could like carry around with him without it being too much of a pain in the ass. So something like a dulcimer wouldn't work.
Right. Right.
Because that you sit on your lap. But also
nine strings is
right.
a lot.
It's like. Is he like the Mick Gordon of the Dune world where he's like, give me more strings and then fire me from writing the music for this great game for Bethesda?
Don't worry about it, because then we'll just get scorned by the video game industry for all the award ceremonies. And
It's fine.
We'll just give it all to Last of Us 2.
Last of Us 2, again, even though Hades is a way better game.
Hades got scorned, too. Got snubbed. Little side note here. Even though we're supposed to be talking about Dune, just want you to know that I don't care about video game awards anymore. And
because they're
like
all
game.
Basically nothing but promo.
Yep. And heard that the best the game that I've been waiting 10 years to play came out this week. And it was a failure.
I got some feelings on it, but it might be post-podcast feelings. Because I will tell you now that I've spent twice as much money on that game than I ever should have. Because I got it for my PS4.
Yes.
Which, I'm gonna
That's where
put
I
my
heard the problems are.
Yes, I've heard that too. Mm-hmm. I didn't have nearly as many problems. Cool. Glitch-wise, interestingly enough, I bought it for the computer, and it's a smoother playing experience. But you know me, okay. I don't care about graphics, so like I crank stuff down so that way I can just play it smooth, right? Like I crank stuff down. Mm-hmm. I don't care if the light is shining off somebody's forehead. I don't give a shit. And if you know what, if you're one of those people out there, if you're one of those people out there who gives a shit about that kind of stuff, you know what? Find another way to measure your dick.
I nailed it. This is what I was looking for. This is the content I came for.
Find another way to measure your dick, because no one gives a fuck if your light shines off of something or whatever. You're the only idiot who sees that. You know what? You know what? Nobody gives a fuck. So anyway, I crank my shit down and it's fine. Like the game is fine, but I was saying to Sean Mnemonic recently, who got it. I was like, it's a jack of all trades game, master of none. Like, there's a lot of bloat in it. The gunplay is fine, but if you want better gunplay that's putting bullets into things, get Borderlands. The world atmosphere is great, mm-hmm. but like the driving is dog shit. If you want cool. good driving, play Saints Row or play Grand Theft Auto. I don't know. It's one of those games that I feel like people are constantly making excuses for it. And my complaints don't come from the glitches at all. My complaints come from the fact that it just feels like it's not really doing everything that it promises well.
Oh, wow. It's real Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, well, I mean, and even that, it's just like basic mechanic. Nothing is. Mm-hmm. I saw a Polygon article today that said, you know what? This isn't this Cyberpunk 2077 isn't new wave. It's dad rock. And I was like, you know what? That's a great comparison. It does nothing new. It tries its best, but in the end, it's not the shooter I'm going to go to. It's not the driver I'm going to go to. If I want good plot, I might go to it. I enjoy the character interaction so far. That's cool. That's what I'm enjoying. And that's fine. You know what? It's a pretty mediocre, like, whatever. Like, if you liked the Outer Worlds?
Yeah.
If you like the Outer Worlds, you probably like this. Like, if you liked, I've heard people say that they're like, oh, the world is the best thing that's been made in a video. No, you know what? Give me Bioshock. Give me Bioshock's world. Like, it's just your that's typical, cool. It's your typical Blade Runner world. There's nothing special in it. Like, it's literally all this stuff is just ripped from Cyberpunk culture and probably not well. So, but it's fine. It's good. It's a game to play. But you know what? You're not going to miss anything by waiting.
Okay, good, because A, that's what I'm doing, and B, mm-hmm. Thinking about bigger, more expansive worlds, we should get back to
get
the
back
book
to
we're
Dune. Sorry, I got caught up in a little bit of Cyberpunk 2020. 2077.
I started it. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
We were talking about Balisets.
Yes.
And now I think next week, if they don't explain it by next week's episode, which we'll be recording offline and putting on the website, we should have a contest to see who can describe what they think a Balisset is.
I like that idea. Nick, knack, Balisset. I like that idea.
Yes.
A lot. Let's do it.
I have some ideas in my head of what I see, and then I can't wait until we can watch either movie and decide what it is.
And it's I wonder if like they could like close it up and put it in a pocket, right? Like a harmonica. Mm-hmm. What if it's like a harmonica? But he sings.
That you like, play with your mouth.
I don't know. I feel like it's got to be something. Can we just not make up a fake instrument, Frank Herbert?
I mean, it's...
It's fine.
It's fine. There's a lot in this book that's... It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. Like all of the second part of the book.
It's fine.
It's fine.
there's a lot of walking. And not even walking, just like... struggling in the desert, but not in a manner that makes you go, the stakes
God,
are really
they're really
high.
Struggling in the desert. Paul and Jessica, let me give you a quick rundown of book two. Paul and Jessica are in the desert. Mm-hmm. And that's book two.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's book two.
I I've said in the past, repeatedly, slow burn science fiction is where it's at for me. I am not busting on the content as far as like the story of what Dune is, but holy shit, Herbert, you could have fucking shrunk this down by about 5 hours worth of book at least.
This felt like it was an excuse to world build. So we begin book two with Paul and Jessica, his mother, still basically on the run from Harkonnen men, right? Mm-hmm. From Harkonnen soldiers. They are fleeing, and their biggest fear is what?
That they're going to die in the desert of dehydration.
What else is one of their biggest fears? Can you remember?
Sandworms.
Yeah. Right. Got to only walk a certain way or sandworms are going to get you. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or as well, the Harkonnen ornithopters coming to find them.
Right.
That's their fear. And that's it. That's what they deal with. And it's them doing a lot of sleeping and Paul doing a lot of I'm an asshole. Because did Paul go to you the way he did to me, where it was he went from a perfectly likable growing 15-year-old character to just sort of being a know-it-all asshole? And I actually don't care for Paul right now.
Yeah, no, he's gotten insufferable. And I will say that later on in the book, I'm one chapter past where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I feel like I can describe it best is that Paul keeps being successful by accident.
Yes.
He keeps failing and screwing up into prophecy. Like in the desert, he screws things up and it just keeps working out. Mm-hmm. When they finally at one point meet up with the Fremen. And when they meet up with the Fremen, Paul, of course, is like, oh, I know all of this stuff now. I'm cursed with knowledge. And I see all of these different possibilities. And he keeps just screwing up. And somehow his screwing up is exactly what puts him in the place he needs to be.
Yes.
Fate is intervening. And I need less fate intervening and more mm-hmm. Paul being a capable character that we've set him up to be, that Herbert set him up to be in the first entire book of this.
Yes.
This book.
Yeah. Yeah. I was struggling between how I felt about that for a lot of book two, for like the 3/4 of it that I got through, because what I felt like the only word that came to mind over and over, and it's the one word that I had written down, was inconsistent.
That okay.
Paul as a character feels deeply inconsistent in book two. Mm-hmm. He has suddenly been, and I love what you said there, you pulled the Thanos out, he's cursed with knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And which is fine, but I don't feel like there are limitations on his knowledge, especially now that he has access to the golden path or like that, you know, that seeing all of the mathematical futures.
Right.
But what has not yet been done is there has been a demonstrative weakness in his possession of that. It is actually only advantage. But he as there's things that Paul knows, and he's like there's Jessica the entire time is like there's so much narration in her head of, my God, I didn't know Paul would have grown this way. This isn't my training. This is what Paul has become. And then he'll turn around and she's like, how about you try this, Paul? And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I could. Oh, yeah. So like he's got the golden path, but he's still an idiot by circumstance. Mm-hmm. And it's only when the plot, when it's convenient for plot, that he's an idiot by circumstance. And I'm not saying idiot as in like, you know, he's ignorant. I should probably say it better. He's ignorant by circumstance, by plot circumstance alone. But it's like also when he needs to be brilliant, see the golden path, be the Kwisatz Haderach.
The knick-knack paddywhack.
Knick-knack paddywhack. It's Deus Ex Machina. It's right there. It's the convenient plot contrivance of Paul happens to know. Here's a thing that we're going to reveal through Paul's knowledge. And that is very quickly becoming tiresome to me. Maybe it wasn't in the 1960s when this was originally written. But I will say now, as someone who has greater fantasy experience, both reading and writing, watching, experiencing, playing, that it's no longer Deus Ex Machina is use it once.
Yeah.
Use it once.
And it's I'm offering too many excuses for a book that is critically lauded that I enjoyed the first third of. I feel like maybe I'm starting to get back into the part of the book, like, it's more interesting already. Getting them out absolutely. Of the desert is more interesting.
100%, because they get picked up by the Fremen. Mm-hmm. They escape a sandworm, which I loved that sequence. And they get picked up by the Fremen, who Paul has met this Fremen leader before. And it becomes at that point, can Jessica and Paul transition into life as members of the Fremen society? And I like that part. Like, that part, I immediately was back in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Question for you. Interpretation question. Anywhere previously in the book, did they explain that the Bene Gesserits are effing insanely talented warrior women?
It was only suggested briefly at the beginning. The phrase, the weirding.
Yes.
Which was their witch power combat aptitude, never mentioned until this part.
Right. And when they encounter the Fremen, and I know I'm jumping forward past the desert stuff.
No, it's fine, because there's nothing. You know what happened when they were in the desert?
They got buried in sand a little bit. They slept some. They lost their pack and then dug it back up.
Yeah, and they were just in the desert.
They were in the desert. They ran away from a worm for a little while.
That was anticlimactic. But the worm, the description of the worms is great.
Yeah.
Although I did twice were those worms described as larger than a frigate.
Twice. I don't even remember that. I mean, they also mentioned that. And he's alluding to it like it's this gigantic secret that the worms and the spice are connected,
mm-hmm.
and that the Fremen have figured out how to ride the worms with these giant hooks, like these hook sticks. And it's this gigantic secretive knowledge that that's how the Fremen survive and travel through the desert. Yet we haven't physically seen it except for a suggestion of it, and no, it's not really important yet, and I don't know if it's going to be
I feel like it's going to be, because I feel like if Paul doesn't ride his ass a sandworm by the time the series is done, I will feel fucked.
But if you have the power to control a sandworm, why have they not just destroyed the Harkonnens and entire cities with the sandworms? Like, why have they let themselves be subjugated like this?
So I actually have a theory about that. It's something that I do want to talk to you a little more about. And I do believe it comes down to, there's a sequence of this. So when Paul and Jessica are trying to survive in the snow,
in the snow. Welcome to George R. R. Martin's book.
There are several sequences that we get that are placed in there. There's the first sequence we get, which is the Baron Harkonnen basically being like, bring me the woman and the child. Mm-hmm. Let me place more insert political intrigue here in brackets to find the woman and the child. And if you ask me to explain what the fuck he's doing, I'd have no idea. Second. Is
somebody just played an air horn in my house randomly? Right as you said that,
they just played
just
an air horn
in the background of my house. Heard burr, burr, burr,
burr, burr, burr. Well, now that there's an air horn in your house, it's almost like you'd call sandworms. Secondly, you get Barristan Selmy, aka Gurney Halleck.
I thought Barristan Selmy was Thufir Howitt.
Oh, really? See, I suddenly have seen it the other way, because Gurney Halleck has basically allied himself with a bunch of scavengers, I think it is.
Yeah.
That
smugglers.
He's like smugglers. That's what it is. And he's like, let's go kill the Harkonnens.
Yeah. I'm mad at them. They hurt my family.
Let's go kill the Harkonnens. And the smugglers like, sure. because we can do it. Don't ally with the Fremen, rely with us. And he's like, I just want to kill some Harkonnens.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll do it with you. I'll give you my sword.
I'll do whoever. And then the third one.
I can stab him, I'll do it.
I'll stab him as hard as I can. The third sequence is, my brain just shut down. Well, there's Paul and Jessica in there. The third sequence was,
are you talking non-Paul and Jessica free sequence?
Oh, it was Kynes.
Kynes, yeah. Kynes dying in the desert.
And he has these oasis-like madness recollections of his father, and you find out that Kynes was, Kynes' father was connected to the previous, like, Edenification of this world. That Kynes' father and basically Kynes himself had discovered how to refine this Dune world into an Eden.
Right.
And then I guess with Kynes dying, it puts, like, it suggests that that's never going to happen.
I don't know that that's the suggestion. I think the suggestion is more this idea that, Kynes is the last person that you think could do it logically, but that without the right leadership, it would never happen.
Right.
So now that, like, Paul is going to become who he is, like, that's his destiny is to set in
place.
That's
his destiny,
like,
yeah.
The Kynes stuff was also really a big setup for this whole the worms and the spice are connected.
Yes.
Plot. Thread.
Yes. Because that's, like, where you first find it out that they are like the worms have a biological connection to the spice.
We start
itself.
Calling them the makers. The worms make the spice. So what we're saying is that the spice is worm poop.
Yeah. And that's the way worms work anyway. That's the way dirt is basically all dirt is processed worm shit in some regard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So cool.
There you go.
Worm
you
shit.
I hated the Kynes sequence. It was way too long.
It really was. I got so bored with it. I was making dinner and I'm just like, is this over yet? And I don't. I also don't necessarily think that he's dead. They did the whole. He felt stuff underneath him happening, and everything went dark. And as he sat there. And he died. They say he died, but they say it was kind of.
But
like
it was one of those fades to blackness
died.
As the blackness overcame him.
It was very much. I mean, they literally said the words as he died.
Yeah.
But I think it is the intent is as Herbert uses this internal monologue of characters a lot, especially in that sequence, that what it was saying was Kynes was viewing it as though he was dying. And so it's his narration of his own death. And so he's not actually dead. Somebody's going to find him in a little bit. Hopefully.
Maybe
I
bring
guess,
him back.
I don't know. Because he's going to get blown up by worms, spice.
Well, my thought was, if you say the Fremen, why have they not used the sandworms? This is what this all connects back to. Why have they not used the sandworms to overtake the Harkonnen? Because I believe there's some shadier shit going on there.
Okay.
I don't think that the Fremen are entirely oppressed by the Harkonnen. I think there is some commercial connection between the Harkonnen's power and the Fremen as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're going to find later that there is an agreement between the two of them, or rather that the Fremen are simply waiting for the Harkonnen to fix the world, so to speak, or for the world to be fixed in general. The other thing is that they are fated to wait for the Mahdi. Mm-hmm. That's part of their belief system. So they're just waiting, and all of a sudden he happens to show up. So it's like, no, don't go. We're not in control of our own fate. We have to wait for the Mahdi. We have to wait for the savior. And then we'll be in control of our fate. I don't know.
When Paul is, let's talk about Paul's acceptance into the Fremen society.
Yes.
And we've seen it earlier in the book that basically some Fremen can go, yo, hey, you want to like you gonna hang out with us? You know, be our bro? And all you got to do is go like, yeah, I tie my water to your water. And they're like, cool, bro, so you're Fremen now. They made it out to be like it's this really big, difficult thing. And
like a docking thing, do you think? Tying the water to your water? Is it like, do they?
I'll pee in your mouth if you pee in mine.
Yeah, we'll...
We'll pee in each other's mouths?
That's sharing water. I actually have a theory also about this book.
That you become
when it comes that, yeah, I have another theory that we'll talk about soon. But I want to continue hearing about this.
So cool. Earlier in the book, like, do we see Duncan Idaho get integrated into the Fremen society? They're just like, yeah, Duncan Idaho's our best bud now. And then they're like, oh, hey, Duncan Idaho left to go save you. He's a prick now.
Where's Duncan Idaho at?
Coward. He's dead.
Where's Duncan Idaho?
I hope he's not dead.
He's not dead.
Now I want to see him come back and then be like, yo, why'd you fucking run away?
Spoiler alert, he's in all five books, so it's fine.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. I stumbled across that at some point. Duncan Idaho is like considered to be one of the favorites of the series.
I knew he was a favorite. I just thought, but like, there are other characters, and Boba Fett is a favorite. And until now, Boba Fett has been in jack shit. So,
by the way, if we can talk a little Mandalorian, because, you know, sandworms and the like, did we ever figure out how that motherfucker got out of that Sarlacc pit?
Not yet. I'm hoping that.
Good.
Well, don't worry about it.
Yeah, let's just never talk about it.
Or we'll just wait for the fucking Boba Fett series. Because let's face it, now this week, Disney decided to announce that there are 4 million Star Wars shows.
Disney decided to announce oversaturation. That's their new thing is oversaturate. I mean, they were oversaturating before, but like, how many Marvel shows were announced? Armored Wars, WandaVision, Loki.
Our new WandaVision, Loki, Falcon. And that were coming out.
Falcon. What If? It's like four other things, and then also the same day they're like, y'all, also Star Wars, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka Tano,
can I give you a rundown on things I don't give a shit about? I don't give a shit about The Bad Batch, which is a Clone Wars spinoff, because now that Dave Filoni's done great stuff, we're going to hand Dave Filoni like every little pet project he wants.
Can we not go back to
his
Clone Wars stuff? Can we just not go back to that?
Yeah, no, The Bad Batch is a group of clones who are like defects.
Can we not go back to that again?
Don't give a fuck about a Cassian Andor show.
Nope.
Because Rogue One's not a good movie.
Nope, like, not at all. Dropped that one hot the other day on a stream and said I was asking about people's quote unquote hot takes when it comes to Star Wars, and mine was that I hate Rogue One.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not good. Of course, because this season of Mandalorian, I'm starting to get pissed off because it's just backdoor pilot world. You know, like, let's give Ahsoka Tano her own show. Great. Not saying that the character doesn't deserve it. Not saying I'm not going to watch Rosario Dawson. She did an amazing job in that one episode. Let her live in the periphery as she's done in Rebels and in Mando.
Right.
I don't.
Well, also, there is a hard end point for Ahsoka Tano as well, which I don't
like. There has to be.
There supposedly is in the canon, right?
Like, she's dead by the time we get to The Last Jedi.
Yeah. Can we not, like, The Mandalorian's great because it's a fresh new take, right? Give me hot, fresh new takes. Some might say, well, why didn't you like Rogue One? Because it's a take I didn't need. Mandalorian, that's a take that I need. You want to know why? Because Mandalorian's gotten shit on this whole time. Boba Fett sucked up until now. Mm-hmm. Wow, all of a sudden we went from Dune talk to Star Wars talk. Did it show you how boring this part of Dune was?
Yeah, man, that is the problem with this section of Dune, is that it's been really boring, and I think getting back into it now, like, now I'm back to being sort of excited to listen to it again.
Yes.
And
we got out of the situation where Paul and Jessica in the sand. Fuck Game of Thrones. They're in the sand. They go through the sequence that I liked. I was wondering if you were thinking this too. And I don't have a name for it, but I like to consider it like the sundering or the shattering. Oh my god, your wiener is, you're talking about your wiener? Dude?
That's the name of it. That's the name of it.
There's always a moment in these epic fantasies where everyone is scattered to the winds.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we look at Final Fantasy 6 or 7, right? Look at games. Final Fantasy 6 or 7, you get, you know, in 7, you get Cloud falls away from everybody else and into the Mako and into the live stream. And then you have to go through the game without him. In 6, it's after the world gets, like, basically destroyed and everybody is scattered around the world. In Game of Thrones, after the Red Wedding, et cetera, everybody is scattered to the world. That's what I feel like this was, was all of these characters that you've gotten comfortable knowing have been scattered to the sands. We don't know where Kynes is, where Duncan Idaho is, where Gurney Halleck is. Well, we know where they are, but we're seeing snippets of them.
Yes.
Paul and Jessica stumble upon a Fremen colony, and they are basically tested to be a part of it, at which point Jessica manhandles with the weirding way manhandles the chief, like the chief.
Yeah.
And but not even with any form of tension, just bests this guy instantaneously.
Paul climbs up the side of the mountain and is like, I'm gonna go hide away. And she's like, guess what? Fucked your world up, bro. You're a wimp. And he's like, don't kill me. You're cool in my book now. Guess also, you're the people we're looking for.
Paul meets Zendaya.
Yes. Okay. So, yes, I know she's Zendaya in the new movie. So she is Kynes' daughter. I am trying to figure out, because we have all of these things about Princess Irulan.
Mm-hmm.
So we know at some point there is an end point for Paul being with someone else. Unless she is secretly Princess Irulan.
I am wondering that too. Knowing that I know that Princess Irulan is Paul's spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that is what's her name? Is it Chani?
That sounds great.
Okay. Chunky. Cherry?
Chunky.
Did you guys, people out there in the world going, did you guys even fucking read this book?
No, I did.
I'm just now embracing the names from the previous book.
Like, Choosy? I can
choose Charlie,
Chocolate Factory,
Chungus,
Big Chonkus,
Big Chonkus. So it's Big Chonkus. She's odd and strange. She knows how to sneak around. We realize that Paul's a clumsy shit and he can't sneak worth garbage, because Big Chonkus is right there and she's like, y'all,
you snuck like
you
shit,
suck
bro.
At sneaking.
Yeah.
You're basically Rance in every stealth game in the world.
It reminds me of that Always Sunny meme where they're talking about being stealthy, and then it's just Danny DeVito, and it just says, "So I started blasting."
So he meets her, and we get the presumption that they are a thing. Then
because he doesn't like her at the beginning. So, yeah, of course
he's like,
boy doesn't like
I'm
girl.
Angry at you.
Yeah.
This is one of those terrible places where that inconsistency really shines in Paul again, where he may be the Kwisatz Haderach, but he's still a boy on the inside and he still makes boy decisions. It's like, no, you've actually abandoned that. Like,
yeah,
I think
you were you were raised as a child who is supposed to understand the strength of women's intuition and natural skills because that's what's been taught to you.
Yeah.
So, like, don't be like, oh, this little girl's better than me at something. Guess I hate her. Idiot.
Can we talk about how, and I'm saying this as a straight man, how I think that this sequence of Dune, this book too, Maudib, is 100% gay. Like, it is gayness embodied. And I'm saying that Let me clarify.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say that in the best way possible, right?
Yeah, and I know you as a person, you're not right. This is not
It's no, I'm not downplaying it. I'm not being like I'm not talking crap about it. I'm saying like it is gay and doesn't know it's gay.
Okay. So it's in the closet.
If a book refused to identify its own budding homosexuality, this is that moment in the book. I wrote down a few phrases that just to me, I'm like, yo, you're either putting these in here as a joke or you're just embracing me as a 13-year-old boy. Okay. So I'm gonna look at a few here. So one of them, my favorite, was that Paul was reminded by Jessica that he still needed to learn the needs of his body, including his tip sensitivity. I presume that means his fingers.
She said you got to learn your tip sensitivity?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much of it?
Well, I don't know. She's like, Paul.
Just the tip.
She was like, Paul, you have to still learn the needs of your body and your muscles, your muscles flexibility and the touch of your hands and your tip sensitivity. And the minute I heard it, I fucking busted out laughing.
I guess I missed it and just was like, it wasn't strange to me.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, it didn't stand out.
It wasn't too strange to you, but it was strange to me because I would say about 10 minutes before that, Paul had to jerk off his harness to get it on.
I did hear that line and I thought, and don't ever use the term jerk off in anything.
Never.
In the mid 1960s, I think you knew what jerking off was.
Right. So Paul has to jerk off his harness in front of his mom. Also I can't tell you how many times
harness to completion.
He did. I can't tell you how many times they walked in and out of sphincters.
Yes, the tent has a lot of sphincters.
And every chapter, it's like Jessica and Paul went into the sphincter.
Yeah, they so stopped. Like, he stopped saying it. Like he just eventually just says, "That's the sphincter. They're going in the sphincter."
No one uses the phrase sphincter to refer to a membranous entry or exit. We use it in regards to our butts and the organs in our butts, says the guy who doesn't know anatomy. So like if Frank Herbert, there was no, you know, we had talked about this last week. There's suggestions of like, you know, homosexuality is a deviant practice in this book and that it's related to like, you know, Baron Harkonnen, who is evil and unpleasant. Well, of course he also just happens to be homosexual because that's real 1960s right there.
Yeah.
But also there's this subtle, like the book is also very phallic and
bro, it's they imagery. All want to ride worms.
They all want to ride worms. There's a lot of phallic imagery. There's a lot of like inversion of the masculine expectation.
You stabbed somebody that.
Yeah.
Do you think you're a man now?
Do you think you're a man? So I joke when I say that, like, it's 100% gay, but I say that with absolute satisfaction in it. Like, it makes me laugh, but also word choice seems very specific here. And I don't know, maybe that's the inner 13-year-old in me coming out.
Maybe. I mean, maybe Herbert is trying to say something.
You walked in on us talking about the language choices in Frank Herbert's Dune.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Hugh. Yeah, I say Hugh. Yep.
Hugh.
You got to give some breath at the beginning. Hugh.
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 Like when you say Kwisatz Haderach. You have to
knick-knack paddywhack.
Knick-knack paddywhack. There is obviously not how we say, but close enough. Oh, close enough. Almost got
you
it.
You screwed it.
I almost
screwed
got
it, up.
Hugh. I
you
fucked
screwed
it
up. Hugh.
I fucked it up. Frank Sorry. Herbert obviously Sorry, is a, you know, in his political theories and his ideas is continuously progressive, right? There's a lot of like pro-environmentalism here. But it does suffer a little bit from that idea of, you know, homosexuality isn't really like accepted in the world at large. And
he's trying.
He falls into somebody's bad tropes.
Yeah, he's trying, but he's trapped in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just.
Yes.
That's where he is. It's like he doesn't know any better. And I think I can forgive it for that.
Right.
But it doesn't also make it as a book I'm reading in 2020. It doesn't make it any more pleasant in that manner. And I'm living in this world now for me where it's okay to give up old things if those old things don't fit our
like new ideologies.
Our ideologies. Yes. So let's see. Like maybe let's think about Brian Herbert, Frank's son, still working on Dune. So maybe Brian, maybe we sit down and we take it and we like. With your blessing, we take some of these terms and we change them. And we change a few of these things to fit. If you want this book to match what our current sensibilities are and be as poignant now, I think it's okay to change with the times. I'm not saying be a George Lucas and add dumb bullshit into it.
Right.
I'm saying.
But can we identify the problem like the white savior narrative, right? Can we identify these do feel like there are commentaries about colonialism in here, but not the white savior narrative. The white savior narrative feels very white savior-y.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. This is going to be problematic later, especially given the fact that every prophecy that is established in this world revolves around this one young man being the world leader, basically.
Do you think that in this aspect of things, do you think that Herbert's integration of Islamic culture is integration, or do you think it is appropriation?
I don't think it's either.
Okay.
Really. I think it's too ham-fisted to be appropriation.
Okay.
And I say that sounds like I'm really like giving him an out. No, I actually think it's approached too respectfully to be appropriation.
Okay,
what I feel Herbert is doing is he's trying to demonstrate through the best of his knowledge and his research and understanding that the world of Dune, where Arrakis and Kaladin exist, this universe is also the same universe as Earth. As we see the OC Bible is referenced over and over. I don't feel as though I feel it's done appropriately without appropriation, if a bit ham-fisted, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fine. It's totally cool. I mean, because I've been trying to. Did you hear the cat?
No.
She stretched and just went.
What a stranger.
And now she's staring at me like, what is your problem, man? What are you doing?
What a stranger.
Yeah. What real stranger. I don't think that Herbert was, I think he was, his intentions were good. And I appreciate it in the manner of like, I think that's one of the things that makes it, that on a positive level makes this endearing, because I'm not just reading the same sword and sorcery, space lasers, pew, pew, pew. Stuff.
Yeah.
I'm reading something with its foot in a world that I don't have a lot of exposure to as a fucking American who, dear God, if, you know, in 2020, if we make any reference to anything from that, those cultures or that area of the world, well, fuck me, that's just un-American. So, like...
Right. Fucking Americans.
So I'm enjoying that aspect of it, and I'm glad that that's your take on it. It's because I'm a fucking English teacher. I don't know. And
do I think that it could have been? I think there are a number of parallels, obviously, between religious writings and religious story and religious narrative as we know it, whether it's Catholic, whether it's Buddhist, whether it is Hindu, anything like that, and the way it's represented in this book. Like, to me, I was saying to you, like Paul and Jessica being out in the wastes is Exodus. Him leading the Fremen to their saving is Exodus.
Uh-huh.
And so I think, but it's also not so evident that it can be held to scrutiny either, if that makes sense. And that's how I feel like his treatment of drawing in other cultural qualities is. There's nothing there that I feel like I can hold up to a magnifying glass and go, dude, you fucked this up. Because right. I don't think he's doing it with the intent to rip it off or to appropriate. I actually think he's doing it with a way to represent in a way that science fiction and fantasy has not really seen up to this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's good.
Like seeding it in reality in a way.
And that's one of the places where I think why I'm saying that I think that it's important to take a work like this and continue to maybe modify it a little bit to make it more palatable for modern audiences. Because I think it's getting old enough now that yes, the movie's going to bring the new movie's going to bring a lot of attention to it, but I think it's also going to bring a lot of attention to it in our modern sensibilities, where we're going to look at it and go, you know, hold on one minute. I don't think this is what we like want to hold our standards up to anymore. And I think that it deserves to be held up to that standard now.
Of course, anything should. Any work should. We should hold any work up to a magnifying glass and look at it and wonder, is this the best representation of Western society that we want in literature right now? Or is it saying something important? My hope is that with Villeneuve's movie that they will identify that and tweak it a little bit to make it more modern.
Before on HBO Max.
A 100%. No, see, what I'm thinking is what they're going to do is they're going to put it out. Then they're going to put it out for the PS4, and they're going to say,
oh, is it going to need patches?
Oh, yeah, it's going to need patches. And they're going to go, oh, this actually wasn't the game we were making, basically. Sorry, guys.
Oh, this wasn't done.
It's not really done. But you know what? Also, you guys all bitched and complained about it for so long. We just wanted to get it to you.
We just wanted to put it out because we were, you know, frankly, I know you've been waiting on this movie for, oh, I don't know, 20 years? So figured it was going to give it a shot. Last time you saw something like this was on the Sci-Fi Channel. And
in 2001, was it?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you know that today, by the way, you know that today is the birthday of the original Dune movie. Today is the release date.
I did actually see that. I saw something about that. I think it's probably
1984.
My phone was listening to me say words that included Dune, and that I was reading it in the audiobook in my, you know, in an Audible. So of course Jeff Bezos was like, thank you, yes, please. Let me hand all of your information to Facebook and other places, and I will gladly tell them that you are interested in Dune.
1984, it's like 7 decades ago. God damn it. It is. I am seven decades old plus two.
A little baby boy.
I was 7 decades old plus two. Yeah, 84. Which I'm looking forward to actually going back and watching that too, because I'm curious to know if there's been a lot of, you know, obviously that was 19 years after the movie was after the book was written. What I didn't know, however, was that originally Frank Herbert was involved in a treatment of the movie where he and a number of he called them basically like his trusted confidants were trying to bring the philosophy of Dune to the masses.
So he was trying to become L. Ron Hubbard.
He was trying to proselytize.
He was trying to create Scientology, but with Dune.
Yeah, with Dune. Yeah, that's a little weird, right?
Was he going to be Maudib? Was he going to be like Paul Atreides, or is he just waiting for someone?
I actually have a I have a question for you. So you are also reading the audiobook the way that I am reading the audiobook.
Yes.
Was there a glitch in your audiobook where, okay, so I don't even know how to explain this. In the first sequence of the book, I had my mind blown because there was a Princess Irulan chapter that was also tagged Princess Irulan, and then right next to it, it said Frank Herbertian, H-E-R-B-E-R-T-I-A-N, which I was like, well, it's no, I can't find it anywhere again. But I was like thinking to myself, I was like, what if this is like I talk a lot in rhetoric studies about there are four dimensions to every work. There is the author, the perceived author, the perceived audience, and the audience. So like you have an author of a book, but also there is a perceived author who is the author that in that world supposedly wrote it. Then we have the audience that's for, and then we have the audiences we actually are. And I was like, whoa, I was like, is Frank Herbert like this presence in this history? Because if it is Earth in history, then Frank Herbert actually is bringing us the story. He'd be like a biblical figure. He'd be like the Paul, the original Paul. Because Paul was an apostle, wrote all of those biblical.
And then Paul things. Is Paul named after Paul?
Oh, I don't know. I actually don't know. I think later. Why
isn't Paul named after Moses?
They fucked it all up. They fucked it up. Because I think that would be too ham-fisted, though, at the same time, too.
I mean, definitely and be too on the nose and, like... But it...
Just call him Mosey. Can we call him Mosey?
Call him Wilbur
I'm curious.
Some.
When you mosey on, is that a reference back to Moses? Like, you mosey on out of here?
I mean, we could look it up and see.
Nope, don't feel like it.
It's canon now. That's it. We've decided
Mosey?
That Mosey comes from the term Moses and Exodus, and Exodus is Moses, right?
Yes.
And that's it. Like, if you want to get out of here, you're Mosesing.
Moses on out of here. Moses on out of here. Before
and
we
Moses
on
like,
out of here.
The Cowboys were like, well, Moses sounds too biblical. Oh, Mosey.
Let's Mosey on out of here. Mosey rhymes a horsey.
Mm-hmm. Ride your mosey horsey.
Horsey Yeehaw. That mosey right on out of here. I hate this whole conversation.
Your morsey.
Well, we both ended this at a point where Paul had to basically fight for acceptance into the Fremen tribe.
Yeah.
Is this the first person that Paul has bested?
Yes. Other than a hunter seeker. In the book so far that we know of. Because he fought... He fought Gurney, and Gurney.
Yeah,
he at least you can at least call it maybe a standstill because it was they both would have been dead. But yeah, so this is the first time. But that's what I'm saying is that he accidented his way into it because everybody's like, "Yo, his fighting style. He's playing with this dude.
His knife skills suck."
Yeah, he's just which also makes me go. Huh. Are the Fremen just really not good warriors and they think everyone in this world really sucks at fighting?
No, they're too busy grinding sand out of their ass cracks to because go, hey, what's up, Rupants, by the way?
Who are the
headcanon
Imperial Guard? What the heck are they called?
The Sardaukar.
Sardaukar. So the Sardaukar are intense. They're super warriors, and apparently like the Fremen are taking them out like it's no big deal.
I kill Sardaukar every day.
Bruh, look at me. I'm Muscle Tony.
I kill Sardaukars every day. I'm Muscle Tony. Hey, Muscle Tony, killing Sardaukars.
So I guess that, like, the Fremen are super warriors, so then Paul must be a super-duper warrior?
But there is, like, well, this is yet again that inconsistency.
It's inconsistent. It's very inconsistent.
Yep.
And he, because he beats Jameis,
Jameis, yeah. Jameson's whiskey.
Jameis is a real big man. He's a real big man. God. Because
he like goes, Jameis, like, you've let these people in here? Come on now.
And he's like, this boy took me down. This boy took me down. He insulted me. And I don't really think that he's the real...
he's not the real Maudib.
He's not. So guess what?
Jameis really wants to be the Maudib.
I guess so. Well, guess what, Jameis? You're not. You lost to a boy who doesn't know the difference between real fighting and shield fighting.
He didn't even have a shield on him like an idiot.
No.
Because he couldn't. Because Sandworm's going to eat him. Hello, Seanicus.
Hey, just don't turn that shield on, bro. Just don't turn it on.
Three parts of this book. Seanicus was asking in the chat, how many parts? Three parts for this book.
Yeah, we're on part two right now.
We're on part two. And was it a bit tiresome? I want to put you through a bit of a quiz, though.
Please. I love your quizzes so
much. This one isn't a quiz per se. It is as you are a fantasy minded person. So I want to put you through a Dune test, and I want to see if you can tell me. I'm going to give you some names, some phrases, and I want you to define them with me as best as you possibly can.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this. This is fun.
Because I feel like a glossary is helpful, but also I think here on the Quarantine Book Club, you can do everybody a huge favor by just compressing down these ideas into simple blabbermouth definitions.
Excellent. So are you
as best as you can, but like your language, right? Like okay. Don't sit there and think you have to define it the way it is in the book. So I want to actually ask you first and foremost. Okay. I want you to define what Arrakeen is for me.
As of Arrakis. It's a thing that's from Arrakis. It's Arrakis-like. If it comes from the planet Dune, it's Arrakeen. But also, it is the castle that they start out at, that they take over. That the Atreides take over.
Yes. Yeah. Good job. High five. High five from far. Digital high five. Yo, can you tell me what Chome is?
That's the interstellar company that allows you, because in this universe, space travel is very expensive, and it's a specific guild and company. And I think... I remember them saying the Chome Company. They're also who distribute the spice.
Yes.
Look, it's just basically like a short. It's a little bit smaller than a short wide dick. Chome is an unhard chode.
I heard that chome is what you like. You have to cut off slivers of your chome and toss them in the water so sharks can find you.
Chome is what washes up on the beach in the morning when you're like out there looking, but it's all dirty and gross, and yeah. It's on top of like, the water.
It's chome.
Chome.
I hate that. I hate that acronym. It's just absolutely
is it an acronym?
Chome. It stands for the Combine Hennet Ober Advancer Mercantilis. Combine Hennet Ober Advancer Mercantilis. Chome.
Herbert, come up with a better name so that you don't Chome. Need so you don't need an anagram. An acronym.
Chome.
But also
they'll get that Chome out of here.
Pick something that's gonna have a better acronym. Yo, don't touch my fucking Chome, bro.
But is that also a commentary on like, you know, monopolies and shit like that, that it's unpleasant to hear?
Yes.
I don't know. And then it's bait of garbage, basically. I don't know.
I think so.
Feed the sharks.
Hey.
Feed the sharks. All right. You're 2 for 2 right now. I think you're doing a pretty good job.
Cool. I am the best.
What's
the best?
Why is a Kris knife so sacred?
Because it comes from, it's made from a sandworm's tooth.
Yup, made from sandworm's tooth, also known as. What are sandworms known as? No,
it's known as a boner blade because it's made from tooth.
Is that
It's my one.
What are sandworms also known as?
It's my one-eyed worm tooth.
What are the worms known
maker.
As? Do you
it's
remember?
A maker.
Yeah, but also there's an actual official word in Flemish.
Trouser snake.
No, not trouser snake. Not trouser snake. It's like here we got in the chat sharks. And then I got issues with several terms in the book. The quiz munch hattermuck.
It's the knick-knack paddywhack. It's a knife that you use to cut off the Chome Company.
Chris Knife was one of those sharp knives in those commercials that you see, like those
guys. I don't
guys
know what they what else they call the fucking worms, bro.
The sandworms. I know this one. You're going to be 3 for 4 on this one. The sandworms are also known as shy halud.
That's what the shy halud is?
Yeah, the shy halud sandworms.
I thought shy halud was the other term for Paul.
Nope. You've got the Quetzal Hatteract. You've got Paul. You've got Maudib.
What is the term that they call Jessica when they're like, you will be this.
But Benny Gesserit.
Nope. It's the word. It's the term that the Fremen give to her as like a weirding woman.
Right.
Oh man, I thought that was the shy halud.
No, the shy halud is another name for the worm. I don't know what they call her actually.
That's
but,
fine. Let's keep going.
Muddy. Shaunikus asks Muddy. It's Maudy, but also known as Maudib.
It's very muddy.
The Maudy is the like. It's like the way you say Jesus Christ and Christ figure. Right, it's like Maudy is Christ, Maudib is like Jesus Christ.
When you pour water in Arrakis, then becomes the Muddy.
Yeah, it does. I hate that. I hated that so much.
That's
I didn't
why
like
it's
that.
So special because you're bringing water to a sand planet. Clearly, I need another term.
Okay, let me see.
Do you want to keep talking into that soda so that I can't hear you?
Shut up. For example, trouser snake. I've got more for you. I just want to find it.
Hey, bro,
you just got
raided.
Tanny, thank you for that raid. Hello, Tanny's friends. How are you? We're the Quarantine Book Club. We're talking about Frank Herbert's Dune, and let me tell you what, we're doing a terrible job of it.
I'm getting quizzed on terms.
He is. Tanny, how did everything go tonight? Tell us how it's going.
I'm ready for the next question.
I'm trying to find it. Okay, souk.
Come on.
What's souk mean?
Hurry up.
I did.
No, that's what... It's fucking hurry up. That's what it means. Fucking hurry up, bro.
Done it. Soup.
Soup means get your ass in gear.
Get your soup.
That's not what it means.
Okay.
I don't know what it fucking means.
Who shouts souk?
All the Fremen.
Specifically, is it Fremen particularly?
Yeah, it's my favorite.
You're fucking this up.
It's my favorite.
You're fucking
boy.
This one.
It's my favorite
up.
Fremen boy, the guy that's the leader of them that tries to marry Jessica. He's like, "Do you want to sleep with me? You can be my wife." Why? Because people will respect us. You're a weirding
witch, bro. It's the people who sell water. Where they walk through the streets and they yell souk. They're selling water.
Is that what souk means?
Yeah, it's basically like water. Come get your water.
You want water? Souk.
It's basically like the equivalent of he did Shaunikus, and then he got his ass handed to him.
I'm done. That joke's over.
I didn't like it, to be honest with you. I didn't like any of that.
Next.
Dude. Okay, so here's a question, actually. Can you explain to me what the Sardaukar are? And I'm not asking this part as a quiz. I'm asking that as requiring clarification, because I feel like the Sardaukar are used by the Harkonnen specifically, but they're also not loyal to the Harkonnen.
No, they're Imperial Guards. They're the Emperor's. That's why it's so, they're the linchpin in understanding that this was, that the elimination of the Atreides was Emperor, was deemed by the Emperor. That he was part of the plan. That's why the Sardaukar are important, because they're the fucking Imperial Guard. They're the red suits in the third Star Wars.
That's what I always see them as. In my head, that's what I always see them as. And yet they're getting killed left and right by the Fremen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more of them.
The wildlings are just killing them.
There are but a lot you know more what? Maybe of them, they, but...
Maybe yeah. they really fight the way those red suited guys in The Last Jedi fought, and they fought terribly. Have you ever seen the analysis of the...
Have you seen the stuntmen? It looks like an amazing fight when you first watch it, and then when you watch it, when someone breaks it down, it's not good.
There's literally a part where one of them runs up to Rey, and they're about to slice her, but like they've messed up the timing, so he just stands there and like looks at her.
Yeah.
And is about to swing and then just doesn't.
Great job, Rian Johnson. Thanks.
Great job.
Nobody fucking hates you, Rian Johnson. That's not true. Everybody hates you.
You know what? I don't. I'm going to tell you why. You know what I hate more than Rian Johnson?
Is it
Hunter Seekers? What's a Hunter Seeker? Tell me what a Hunter Seeker is.
Oh, that's a little things. That's a little assassin droid that looks like the thing that went into Neo's tummy in the Matrix.
That's what I think about it as too. Mm-hmm. I think about it as a Neo tummy.
Yep.
I think about it as Neo's tummy. That's literally what I thought about it as. I also thought about it as the arrow that oh, what's the guy? He whistles it in Guardians of the Galaxy. He whistles.
Yes. I know who you're talking about. The whistler.
And the arrow goes, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Boop, boop.
Yep.
That's what it does.
Mary Poppins.
Right. Mundungus Fletcher. Is that his name?
Yeah. That's it. That's definitely not a character from Turfs R Us. That is definitely
a character. Fuck J.K. Rowling. God. Dang it. Fuck KJ Rowling. J.K. Rowling. The Pied Piper from Shrek Forever After. Like that now we've got the chat is like rolling into it being like, yow, by the way, here's what these things are. I think that's basically about what I got.
Okay.
The reason why more. Is because Balisette? What's the name of them? Balisette was one of them. Mm-hmm. Sardaukar was another one, right? Like mm-hmm. you're pretty good. You got like five out of six, whatever.
Okay. I got one for you.
I can't wait.
What is a water?
What's a water?
Yeah.
Well, it's basically this world's version of oil.
Okay.
Well, no. I'm going to say spice is this world's version of oil.
Like, I'm just being an asshole, man.
But isn't it, though, right?
But water, I actually love the fact that everything is water. But yeah. water is
their money.
Blood is water. Tears are water. Like, their snot, spit is water. All of these things. It's the conservation of water is so important in this world that's another coming up. It's another mistake that Paul makes. That is like that. I'm very much like, oh man, and it's the next chapter on from where you are. And I'm like, are you serious right now? This is stupid. Come on.
There is the presumption that too, like the body's water is a tool for self-expression, like where like spit can be used. You can spit at on the floor in front of somebody. It's like a sign of respect. Like I've provided my water to you, but also like you can spit at someone and like hit them with your water and it's still an insult. But also, I constantly think about this phrase, the body's water. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly thinking about, I'm thinking about biblical reference to that too. We talk about the body and blood of Christ, right? That like in this world, it's a very, like the body's water is wine-like in that regard. It's immensely valuable, either symbolically or even monetarily.
Also, if Jessica needs to remind me in her internal monologue one more fucking time about the fact that we're here on Arrakis and water is so important to these people, and I never thought that water would be this important, I'm gonna fucking cry and
you're gonna shit in your own body's water
because I'm very so important. Tired of her reminding me that water is important to these people. I haven't figured it out yet. Thanks. Also,
come on, Jessica.
Seanicus wants to know what quadrant of the Star Wars galaxy is the Dune planet located
Outer
in.
Rim.
And Seanicus, that is the Kessel Run. Thank you. We also Arrakis is also known as Kessel. Spice Wait. Mines.
The Spice Mines of Kessel. You're actually, Seanicus, we were talking about this last week, too. Just the connection, like how much was drawn from... how much was drawn from Dune for Star Wars, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Kessel. You're right, because the Spice Mine's a Kessel. Ha! Ah,
I'm petting
forgot
cat.
About that. Pet, please pet that cat. Well, pet, is there pet, anything pet, pet. That you wanted to go over from book two, as far as we've gotten into it right now?
Nothing really. I mean, it's the long haul stretch of the book. It's the part of the book that is the, it's the transition. It's honestly... the transition between book one and book three. It's your boring middle section. We have to have a trek through the desert because it's a, we got to get it out of the way. Get that big sequence of, oh, living on Arrakis is dangerous. Being in the desert is dangerous. Just get it gone. But instead we took 6 hours to do it instead of just like an hour.
Yeah. And I feel like this is one of those places where we could have used editing. Editing. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's the ignore middle child, and it has every right to be.
It is
Frank Herbert at his. I feel like he's flailing a little bit to find his purpose once again as a writer in this. And he does. And perhaps it is with the intent to recreate that Exodus-like movement for Paul and Jessica. But it really feels quite bland until we meet back up with the Fremen. The most interesting parts to me of Game of Thrones are not when Jon Snow is walking above the wall. It's when he meets up with Rance Howard or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it's when he finally gets there.
Dance Maker.
Dance Maker. Glance Sizzle.
Mm-hmm. Maze Lifter.
Maze. Yep. Pubis Mons. All right. So I have nothing else that I want to go over with this. Do you have anything else that you have?
Nah, man. It's fine. Everything's fine. God. We went all over the place tonight with whether it's, you know, this about Dune or not. I need you to know that my Amazon device over here, the one that's got the little screen on it, likes to sometimes tell me recent songs that were played.
Yes,
somebody recently listened to Kane Brown. Kane Brown.
I don't know
country,
who Kane Brown is.
He's don't worry about it. He shouldn't, because he's a country singer whose most memorable piece is a song called All I Want to Do Is Make My Hometown Proud.
Well, it's country music, which means it's bad.
Yes, I agree. He's I wouldn't know. Maybe he's a real Trumper, for all I know.
If he is. Oh, speaking of which, ooh, can I give you some great news before we leave?
Okay, cool. Yes.
Guess it was announced today on Parler. Guess who got kicked out of fucking Trapped?
The lead singer?
Yep, Chris Taylor Brown. Fuck you, Chris Taylor Brown, you piece of fucking garbage.
Oh, man, Chris Taylor Brown, fuck off. How much money are you making now? How much richer
Big
than everybody
zero.
Else are you?
Big
you
fat
fucking
zero.
Piece of shit.
Enjoy
you fuck.
Your fucking loss in 2020.
Oh, man.
Fuck off, you piece of shit.
Are
Chris
you really
Taylor
proud of
Brown
being a fucking
sucks.
Proud Boy, you piece of shit?
I said to somebody, you know, they had that stupid fucking, and here we go, we're getting political, because you know what? It's not fucking politics. It's fucking human right, right? All
fuck
I wanted was one night of the purge for this guy and a fucking bulldozer with a wood chipper to go down there for that steal the vote thing that they were doing. Oh, I would have loved to see red hats flying out of that fucker covered in blood.
I mean, that got a little bit intense, man. I just fucking hate Chris Taylor
True,
Brown.
I would. Fuck him.
Fuck
him.
Proud Boys. Fuck Chris
God,
Taylor
fuck Proud
Brown.
Boys.
Fuck you, racists.
Eat fuck shit. Racists. Seanicus asking clarification, who got fired? The lead singer of Trapped, that racist piece of shit. Fuck him.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Seanicus, if you don't know who the hell that is, because the rest of the world doesn't really fucking remember him either.
Exactly. Nobody wants that guy. Well, you know what? We are, so I'm
hey,
Rance.
Hey, man, I'm Bob, and this has been a great night.
Yes, it has. So this is the Quarantine Book Club. Thanks for coming by. Next week, we're going to get together. We're gonna
offline.
We're gonna
next week we record.
We're gonna
that because next week.
No,
it does. Do you want to?
No, you can. You can talk about it. Hello, Chantelle Sword. By the way, hello. Hello,
do you
want to
be live? Do you want to be live next week? Since it's the week before Christmas, or do you want to do something fun that's not?
I want to. Yes, I would like to do not Quarantine Book Club live next week. I would like to do something else. It's also getting closer to my B day, so we're gonna figure that one out.
Okay. But your birthday is an episode.
Yes,
your birthday is on an episode night.
Yeah, maybe we'll. Maybe I'll just drink a lot of beer.
That sounds
maybe
cool.
Maybe I'll take shots for every time I say quits that Saturday. I don't know. We're going to figure that out because yeah. So go ahead and read us out, and then we'll do our thing.
Let me look at my cheat sheets over here. You can find us on our website, www.thequarantinebookclub.com. Don't forget the, or you'll end up on that other crappy website. Follow us on Instagram.
I don't like that website.
Nope, I know, because you got to pay to listen to authors talk about dumb shit. Follow us on Instagram at the Quarantine Book Club Podcast. Our Facebook is at the Quarantine Book Club. You can find rants here on this channel on on Twitch.
On Instagram.
TV, on twitch.tv/violenceobscene. You can find me on my channel on Twitch, www.twitch.tv. I don't know if there's a W in the front of it anymore. I just am so used to saying the World Wide Web, twitch.tv/BobDesign. And starting next month, we'll actually have the Quarantine Book Club podcast channel, which is what?
Oh, it's on twitch.tv/ Quarantine Book Club.
Just Quarantine Book Club without
just
the,
Quarantine Book Club.
I don't have it
the,
on my cheat sheets yet, so I didn't know.
It's fine. It's fine. We'll be shifting there soon.
Look, check us out, and you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, Audible, wherever you find great podcasts. Just look for the Quarantine Book Club. You can tell that it's us because it's got a little like biohazard symbol on it. Sometimes it's yellow, sometimes it's gray. Depends on what season it is. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? You know what?
Fuck them.
Well, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
Thanks for coming.
All right, everybody.
Friends,
stay safe.
In the chat. Yes, be well. Tanny,
be kind
thank
to
you for
other.
That raid. You kick ass. I'm really appreciative. Seanicus, thanks for hanging out. Hugh, thanks for hanging out. Chantelle, so I'm sorry we just showed up and you just showed up and we're going to peace out in a minute. Mick Arcade, Arsenic, Hidden Fox Gaming. You're wonderful. We're going to raid Grammatically Correct tonight. Let's go give Grammatically Correct some love. Give my boy Graham some love.
I'm ready to raid.
I'm ready to raid. I'm going to go snug the dog. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go kiss my fiance.
Go give a big, give her a big wet kiss because now she doesn't. She tested negative for COVID, so just get a cold.
I'm going to go kiss her right on her chome.